And I want to talk about, address the situation with folks that work in the church, folks that serve in the local Bible-believing church. And of course, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, who was his son in the Lord, he calls him. And it's very interesting here. He's old now. Get the picture. He's older, and he's at basically at the end of his ministry, getting very close to the very end of his ministry. So we'll break in reading chapter number 4, 2 Timothy, and please look down at verse number 7. We'll start right there. Very familiar scripture, and we'll read through this, and then I'll give you some thoughts from it that I think will be helpful and things that will be applicable to you tonight. So the Bible says in verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. Can I stop right there and say, if you're as a believer, if you're gonna get involved in a fight, make sure it's a good fight. Hello, there's a lot of fights we get into that we don't need to get into, debates, arguments, explosions, whatever you want to call them. You can find fault with anybody except yourself. Amen. Well, no, we can find fault with ourselves as well. But just be very cautious about this. When the Apostle Paul says, I fight a good fight, he fought, he was a soldier of the cross. And he fought everything and everybody along the way, but those were good fights because he was fighting for the cause of Christ. So he said, number one, I have fought a good fight. Secondly, I have finished my course. He basically was wrapping things up. He'd been in the Lord's service for many, many years, and he was wrapping things up. And then he said, I've kept the faith. In other words, the faith that was, the book of Jude speaks about this, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Same faith. You know, people say in this day and time, say, well, keep the faith, but they don't talk about what that faith is. I'm talking about this faith right here. Faith in God, faith in the Bible, faith in the God of the Bible. And just the same where you started, that's where you ought to finish. Amen. Now, again, for me, I'm an older person. In just a few weeks, I will start my 79th year. And so my goal in life, my goal, and has been for some years, but my goal intensifies now that I need to finish upright. I'm not just talking about upright standing up, but I need to finish upright. I need to finish my course. That's my duty, not to mind someone else's business, but to mind my business and finish upright. So he's saying here, I have kept the faith right to the end. Then he said this, and this is where it applies to everybody, although he's talking to Timothy, his son in the Lord. But he's pointing and he suggests that this is for everybody. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So there's a reward for the things he just mentioned. Fighting a good fight, finishing the course, and keeping the faith. There's a reward for that, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And then look at this. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So it's not just him. It's not just he and the disciples. It's not just he and a few believers in that area. No, it's every believer, every Christian. There's a reward for us for just doing what we're supposed to do. That's a good thing right there. Then he goes on to say this. He said, this is the situation we're in right now. Understand, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And the Apostle Paul, hey, can I say he was in 100% all the way along? He was human like you and I. But this man was in 100%. We'll see a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Then he goes on to talk a little bit to Timothy, and he says this. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. What does that mean? When you don't have to understand a lot of theology to understand this verse. Do thy diligence, be diligent to come to me shortly. Well, if someone is saying, hey, I need you to come over here, what do you make of that? What do you think of that? They need somebody. Amen? They need something. They need someone. When the Apostle Paul says, come to me shortly. He said, hey, I need you over here. And look what it says. This is why he needed him. For Demas hath forsaken me. Well, that tells us something right there. Demas working with the Apostle Paul, and the guy disappeared. He's gone. He's forsaken me. Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, census to Galatia, Titus also to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark can be a help to me. He said, I'm older. I've been on the road a long time. I'm wrapping things up, but I need some help. That's not unreasonable, is it? Not unreasonable at all. And then he says, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So get the picture here. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'm finishing up. and so-and-so has forsaken me, so-and-so has disappeared, so-and-so has wandered off. I just need some help to get my work done here. And then he's also, at the same time, he's saying, listen, I'm preparing other guys to send them out to do work in other areas of the world. So this man was busy. He was a going concern, even although he was an older man at this point, he was a going concern. And he said, I need some help. Tychicus I sent to Ephesus, and then look at this. I can relate to this stuff perhaps a little more than most because I'm a little bit older, but the truth is it applies to every one of us in this room. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul's showing his humanity here. He forgot his overcoat. Well, let me tell you something. When you're old and it's the wintertime in Canada, you need an overcoat. Now, he wasn't in Canada. I don't know what kind of coat it was, but I've forgotten things. I've forgotten my hat. Sometimes I'll say to my wife, I'll be walking through the kitchen, I'll say, honey, have you seen my glasses anywhere? I can't find them anywhere. I mean, you'll get there after a while, okay? You'll understand that. But he said, my cloak I left in Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee. Then he said, and bring the books, but especially the parchment. He's talking about the Word of God, I believe, here. But he said, there's some books there, and my coat's there, and bring my copy of the Scriptures along as well, because I need them. Then look at this. So we saw up in verse number 10, Demas had forsaken him. We saw that, that he had left him, but look at this verse here. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. So he's saying again, he said, I've had some opposition. I'm plowing my own furrow. I'm plowing my own way along. I'm in the Lord's will. I'm keeping the faith. But there's folks departing from me, and I want to finish up, and I want to give some training to others around me. And then he says, now, not only that, but this guy's a troublemaker. He says, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Well, he was straightforward right there, wasn't he, about it? And then, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Hey, have you ever had that someone, I mean, just not necessarily church involved or Christianity involved, but someone that just argues with you and tries to cause you problems or accuses you of something you had nothing to do with. It happens, folks. It happens to the best of them. And it's part of life. It should not be that way, but you all know we have a sinful nature, every one of us, including the Apostle Paul. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And we tend to get in other people's faces and cause problems. It's so easy. It happens in life, no question about that. So he's giving him a warning. He said, be aware of Alexander the coppersmith because he's caused me problems, and probably I'm not the only guy that he's going to cause problems with. And then look what he says here. He's in verse number 16. Now, the Apostle Paul's been on the road for a long time. He's been preaching and teaching and training for a long time, and he's just about finished. And then he says, of whom be thou aware also, I'm sorry, I read that verse number 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. So what he's saying here, he said, I called for help. I asked for some help. This is the work of the Lord. There's a lot of folks involved here. There's a lot of people doing what the Lord has called them to do. And he said, many of them I have trained. I started churches. I've traveled to churches. I've written letters to churches, amen. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, to the church at Rome, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Galatia, and so on and so forth. And he said, I put myself into this 100%. I'm all in, no question about it. But he said, I called out for some help. And he said, at my first answer, zero response. No man. Do you understand what no man in the Greek means? It means no man. Nobody showed up. Nobody. Zero. Zilch. Nobody. After a lifetime of serving God, nobody shows up to help me out here. And he said, no man stood with me. And then he goes on to say, but all men forsook me. Now, I think you folks that are here tonight, you all believe the Bible. Amen? We believe the Bible from cover to cover. We have what we call an every word Bible. Every word has meaning and every word has purpose in this book. And so when the Apostle Paul said, no man, do you think he was exaggerating or trying to just add a little bit to it or just sort of be untrue about it? No. When it's in the Bible, it's in the Bible. It says, no man. He says it very clear here. And then when he says, all men forsook me, I mean, that's pretty serious right there. How would you feel if all your family and friends around you just forsook you and walked away? Maybe that's happened to someone in this room, and you know how that feels. But understand here, the Apostle Paul's saying, he said, but all men forsook me, and look at this. This is what I want to get to. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He said, they forsook me, but Lord, don't lay it to their charge. And then he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and so on. He goes on and talks about some other things. I don't need to read that. But this is what I want to zero in on tonight. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me that the Apostle Paul, as far as you understand what we've read, that he needed some help, that he desperately needed some help, that he had support around him at one time, and now when he really needs help, like he left his coat behind, he left his the paperwork behind and parchments and so on, and all he was asking was, he said, Timothy, can you bring that over to me? He said, I've called out. The first time I called out, nobody's responded. Now, I said all that to say this. I love God's people. I do. I love every believer, every Christian. But you know, we all have our shortcomings, every one of us. And the truth is, a church like the Anchor Baptist Church functions by the activity of people, the pastor and the people together. The pastor and the people work at building the church. And perhaps you take care of a certain office or a certain responsibility. Maybe some of you work in the nursery, some of you usher, some of you help with the setup and takedown. Whatever it is that goes on, I'm not familiar with everything, the sound system, the leading, the singing, and so on and so forth. But everybody's involved in something, I'm sure, along the way. And that's, by the way, that's the responsibility, the duty of every Christian. If you're a believer, you should have a spiritual resume. There should be something you can say, this is what I do at the local church. When you're a member of the Anchor Baptist Church, there's something you do. Every person, when we say, the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. And again, I don't want to be unkind about this, but sitting in a seat is not serving the Lord. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I've lost many of you now. But you know what I'm saying? Everyone ought to have a responsibility, and everyone can have a responsibility, and that's why the church is the church. That's why, you know, there are people that will not pay heed or listen to the pastor, but they'll listen to you. I speak from experience. I've been in ministry for over 50 years, and I mean, it's amazing to me how one of my grandchildren can speak to someone who I've spoken to, and they don't want anything to do with me, but they'll listen to him. How does that work? Well, God allows that to happen. Each one of us ought to be involved in the work of the Lord. No question about that. Now, this has got to be one of the, I don't want to start in a negative note, but this has got to be one of the lowest points for the Apostle Paul. He said, here I am, I need help. Physically, I need help. Mentally, I need help. Emotionally, I need help. Spiritually, I need help. And no man offered to help me. No man. Zero. Nobody. After the influence that he's had. And he's saying, I really need help. So I'm thinking this was a low point for him. He's not complaining here. But he was alone. He was perplexed. He was in need of help. And nobody helped him. Nobody at all. This wasn't an emotional time for him. It was a fact. He said, no man helped me. Now, the Apostle Paul, who gave his life to help others, this is not the young and energetic Apostle Paul. It's the aged Paul, who the Bible says in Acts 15, it said he hazarded his life for the cause of Christ and for the work of the ministry. Hazarded his life for it. This is the Apostle Paul who traveled hundreds of miles just to be there. Hey, has that ever happened to anybody? You traveled many miles or you traveled a few hundred miles just to help someone out. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a need that you're made aware of. And you say, you know, I can do that. I'll go do that. The Apostle Paul was there. The Apostle Paul is one whose body was tired. He traveled all over the place. And all they had back then was camels. No SkyTrain. No taxi. No Uber. Nothing like that. Just hoof it wherever you're going. And he traveled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. And he traveled to Derbe, Iconium, Antioch, Galatia, Philippi, and preached the gospel and so on. Paul, who had sat in the homes of believers and taught them the word of God and listened to their problems and helped them and prayed for them. Paul, the apostle, who knew the saints by name in Ephesus and spent time with them at his when the opportunity arose and so on. Paul, who put his health and body to exhaustion for the cause of Christ and for the benefit of other saints. This is a Paul who was all in. He had given all that he had. Paul, who had traveled at dangerous mountain paths and sailed throughout the seas. Matter of fact, I want you to just take a minute and look at 2 Corinthians. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, please. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. Some of you are very familiar with this particular portion of Scripture. Look at verse number, well, we'll skip down to verse number 24 for the sake of time. Verse number 24, and look what it says here. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Did you get that, folks? Five times. Jesus Christ received that punishment one time, 39 stripes. Paul received it five times. That's what the Scripture says here. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Three times in a shipwreck. Huh. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. My soul, think about that. His own people hated him and caused him problems. They threatened to kill him, actually. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. And I'm told by the scholars who know a lot more than I do about it that when it speaks of fasting here, it wasn't the fact that he wanted to do a spiritual activity and fast. There was no food available. What do you do when there's no food available? You don't eat. And so do you follow what I'm getting at here? Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I would say that Paul cared. He cared for what was going on. His whole life was involved in the work of the Lord. No question about that. Now, we see the situation. I'm not trying to raise sympathy for the Apostle Paul this evening. He's just laying it like it is. But what you need to know is this. This is interesting. You are Christian, you are part of the local assembly, part of the local church, and you will come to the point, too, where you realize after a while that you will be there for others, but most of the time, they will not be there for you. Anybody relate to that? We can all relate to it. I'm not trying to be discouraging this evening, but that's the truth. That's just the way it is. If you serve long enough, you'll find out that it would appear, humanly speaking, that there's no ROI or what we call return on investment. You invest your life and your livelihood in the Lord's work, and it just seems the returns are not there. You've helped, and again, can you relate to this? You've helped family members, and your return was that they criticized your family. It happens. It's part of life. You've tried to help the children of your friends. What do? They criticize your children, and they criticize you. You will clear your calendar for someone in a case of an emergency, and yet when you have an emergency and you need them, why, we're Christian brothers and sisters. The Bible says that once we get saved, we're Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you think we'd be, now I know we've all got schedules, and good night, all God's people are busy. 24/7. There's no time anymore for any pieces or quiet. No, we're busy, 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 busy. However, Our priorities maybe need to be checked when that comes along. But you will do what you can for others. Moments when you need help, has it ever happened to you? Don't raise your hand, but has it ever happened to you? When you needed help the most, nobody's available. It happens. It's reality. It will happen. I'm giving you a point here in a minute. But understand that it will happen, moments when you need help. But I like what the Apostle Paul said. Did you get it? Turn back, please, to 2 Timothy and chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want you to look at verse number 16. I'll read it again. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Look at this. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I won't take the time to tell the story tonight, but I, again, not just for the sake of sobbing, but I could say the same thing. There are times when you depend on someone, there's no someone's available. And I think if you haven't been there in the Lord's work, you will be there. So I thank God for the pastor that you've got and his wife and family that press on. I mean, it's not easy for a pastor Turner to get around, to even get up here and preach behind the pulpit, but he just does it because he loves the Lord. And I'm sure you folks are very helpful to him, no question about that. But if you serve the Lord long enough, you'll realize that will come. I'm not giving a sob story, I'm just saying that's just the way it is. Some folks at church, well, you'll see it. Some folks will act like inspectors. They come in and inspect everything and say, nobody picked up that stuff on the floor. Why aren't the hymn books out? Nobody greeted me at the door like they're inspectors. If you want to be honest about it, the Bible says that Jesus is the inspector in the book of Revelation. He wrote letters to the churches and told them what he found there they need to correct. And I'm sure the pastor keeps an eye on things like that as well. But we're all to do our part and to be helpful where we can. And so the Apostle Paul is in a tough spot here. He's in a place of difficulty. And yet he said, listen to that. He said, I pray that God may not be laid this to their charge. Now, very interesting, very fascinating. Something interesting about that. Where did the Apostle Paul learn that? Where do you think he learned that? Very interesting. I want you to look in your Bibles, please. Look at the book of Acts, chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. There's a principle here that I just want to point out this evening. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. And please look at, let's look at verse number 60. Acts chapter 7, verse number 60. Matter of fact, I want you to move up a little bit. Well, let's read up to, verse number 56. We're going to go up that high. Verse number 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Okay, that name Saul, many of you will know this. The name Saul there is the Paul I've been talking about just a few moments ago. When he got saved, the Lord changed his name. He said, you're once Saul, now you're Paul. So Saul is a persecutor of Christians. He sets out to kill Christians. He's at this particular event right here. And look at verse number 59. And they stoned Stephen. Stephen was a servant of the Most High God. And so what happens here, Paul, who was then called Saul, holds the garments of Stephen, and he sees Stephen stoned to death. Let's read on here. Call upon the God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Look at this. This is Stephen speaking here now. He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he died. So this is a wonderful story right here. Sad to see that Stephen was persecuted and stoned to death, for sure. But listen to this. Saul, who was not a believer at the time, was standing there and witnessed this whole thing. He witnessed Stephen being stoned to death. He was slaughtered, dead. And the Bible says that Jesus stood up and welcomed in heaven, so I'm sure you understand all that. But he's saying here, he's saying Saul was one who was present there. Saul saw that. Let me ask you a question. Did that influence the life of Saul, who is now called Paul? It sure did, because he said the same word. So, suffice to say this. You, as you live as a Christian, there are folks that have want nothing to do with Christianity. They want nothing to do with this business called being a Christian, going to church, reading your Bible, praying, and so on. But let me tell you this. God has made it so that the witness that they see never leaves them. There's probably folks in this room who someone influenced you toward God. So here's Saul. Saul, his job is to persecute Christians. His job is to have Christians killed. He sees this man, Stephen. He sees him stoned to death. Through a series of events, Saul gets saved and he changes his name to Paul. Then he comes to a point where he goes through some difficult times. And what does he say? He says the very same thing. In other words, do not charge them for what they've done. Be forgiving, Lord. You know why he says that? Because of Ephesians 4:32, where it says, you be forgiving of others because Christ, for God's sake, forgave you. So, folks, when you serve God and it seems that it's tough plowing and it seems that it's difficult and it seems that you have no support or you have no help, you do it for Christ and Christ alone. You don't do it to be seen of men. And it will happen that when you need someone the most, there'll be no one available, no matter what it is, when you serve God. But you serve God anyway. So here, understand that Saul was the one who was present at this event. Now, so we talked about Saul, who became Paul. His name was changed to Paul when he got saved. We saw that he saw Stephen, a saint of God. He saw him stoned, and he heard him say the words, Lord, don't charge this to their account. Now, let me ask you another question. Where do you think Stephen heard this? Well, let's look in our Bibles. Luke chapter 23. There's a pattern here. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, I believe. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. You see, as you serve the Lord, you're going to learn that sometimes it just doesn't turn out the way that you had hoped it turned out, but you serve God because you love God. So Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Zeroing in on it here. Got it there? Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. I'll have it in a minute here. Jesus is here being crucified. Look what he says, verse number 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, understand that I would say that Stephen heard those words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So get the picture here. Stephen learned to be forgiving at a time he was being stoned to death for just doing good. Nobody came to his aid. Nobody came to his help. But he remembered the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what did Stephen say? Stephen said, these individuals that are stoning me, don't charge that to their account. Paul heard him. So Paul's there. Now Paul is in his last times of serving God. And he says the same thing. When everyone forsook him and walked away, he said, don't charge them. Don't charge that to their account. Forgive them. So what I'm saying by all that, just to wrap it up real quickly here. What I'm saying by all that is this, that as you serve the Lord, and things you will find that things will not always work out. Hey, you ever find that you have some disappointments in somebody? Ever get disappointed in somebody? They said they'd help me. They told me they'd help me. They didn't even show up. And in a day of social media today, they didn't even text me. They didn't even send me a note. They didn't even call me. What's this all about? They're Christians, fellow believers. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what you need to do with that? Let it go. You're serving God. Amen? You know, over the long haul, I just got to say, that's just the way it's got to work. Praise the Lord that There's only one here that makes a difference. So your conclusion is this. Who are you showing your Christ-likeness to? You don't show your Christ-likeness necessarily to people I have my Bible, I have it under my arm, I'm walking up the stairs and into the church. Now that should, to us as believers, that indicates, oh, there's a follower of Christ. But to the world, that doesn't really mean anything. But when you have a forgiving spirit and someone knows they've done wrong, like Saul knew what was wrong before he was called Paul, and yet he saw a man who was being stoned to death, and he said, Stephen said, Father, please don't charge that to their account. Nobody stood with him. Remember, but you know what you need to do here? When you are reading along and you see this in the Word of God, you need to read a little further and find out what happens. I want to show you something here that I find fascinating. When no one else showed up, he remembered that he kept on reading. For example, he turned back to 2 Timothy again. And look, please, at verse number 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their account. You get that? So then he says this, look on, read on. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Notice in verse number 16, the Bible says, no man stood with me. In verse number 17, it says, the Lord stood with me. There's a difference right there. You know, sometimes the truth is that we call on someone for help, and maybe, in all fairness, in all honesty, maybe they just can't help us. Maybe they don't have the desire to help us. Maybe they don't have the inspiration to help us. Maybe their schedule just doesn't allow help. However, understand this. Read a little bit further. It's very interesting. We'll see a couple of illustrations here in just a minute of this. But when I say read a little further, what I mean is they would not help him. He had no help. No man showed up. All men avoided me, but the Lord showed up. Now let me ask you a question. Who's most important for showing up? I'd rather have the Lord show up. Now again, it's difficult for us to just say, okay, I'll just wait on the Lord for this. But the truth is, that's where the glory is. That's where the rejoicing is. I recall the picture of the prodigal son. Matter of fact, I want you to turn there. We're just about finished here. Luke chapter number 15. Turn back to Luke chapter number 15. There's several examples of this in the Word of God. Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And please look at verse number 16. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 16. And look what it says here. Matter of fact, let me move up to verse number 15 just for context. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. You know the story of the prodigal son. He ended up in the pig pen, and he was on hard times. He'd blown everything that his father had given him, and he was in a mess. And he was in a far country, and he was in trouble. But look what it says. Those two words that I've been speaking about over and over again show up again. Look what it says here. And no man gave unto him. There we go again. No man. He's in the pig pen. He's got nothing. He's broke. He's got no food. He's got no shelter. He's on hard times. Nobody showed up. However, let's read on. Like I said, read a little further. So when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before God. And you know the rest of the story. I won't take time to read it. But the prodigal son, one who we call the prodigal son, headed for home. And what did he find at home? He found a father with open arms welcoming him home. And, of course, we got the story of the ring and the robe and the Reeboks, no, the shoes, and the fatted calf, all there, wide open, someone to help him. It was more important that the father helped him than they did in the pig pen. He had no help there. All I'm saying is you will find You will find there's times that basically you can feel forsaken, but just read on a little bit further. Let me give you another example. In your Bible, Psalm 142, please. Psalm 142. I want you to look at David here. David, again, was on hard times. Psalm 142, and please find, well, verse number, we're going to start verse number 1. Psalm 142, verse number 1. And I cried unto the Lord in my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path in the way wherein I walked. They privily laid a snare for me. Look, now look here, pay attention here. I looked to my right and beheld, but look what it says here. But there was no man, the two words again. There was no man to help me. He said, and that would know me, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. So again, he's saying, David was in trouble here. And he said, no, he didn't say no man cared for my body, or no man cared for my my heart, or no man cared for my lunch. He said, no man cared for my soul. The soul's pretty important right here. And so, and he said, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. So he cried unto the Lord. Again, he was in a particular point, like Saul, like Stephen. He was at a particular point where he cried out for help. Nobody showed up to help him, but he called upon the Lord. Amen? So that's what you need to do. Call upon the Lord. You and I need to call upon the Lord. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation, we won't take time to turn to it, but the same thing happened there. He was looking at the book that he wanted to open. He said, no man is worthy to open this book. No one can open this book. And the angel of the Lord came along and opened the book. We see the same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were put in the fiery furnace. They had no help. No man to help them. So what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, came himself. The Bible says there's a fourth man like the Son of God in the fire. So you say, well, I'd like to have the presence of the Lord. Well, you've got to be willing and able to say, put me in the fire, Lord, because there you'll find him. He shows up to help you. What a blessing that is. So to be present and be able. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, verse number 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says that no one stood with me. Stood with, very interesting, same word, but different meaning when you go back into the Greek. It said, no man stood with me. It means that no one was present, no one was beside me when I needed some help. But then in verse number 17, the Bible says, the Lord stood with me. In that case, the word stood there means to be present and able to help. That's a big difference right there. Someone can show up but can't be a help to you. However, when the Lord shows up, he can be a help to you. So even if someone would have shown up, they could not have answered to what your need was, perhaps. So all I'm saying tonight, folks, and probably everyone in this room has been involved in some area of service to the Lord. And it's very easy for us to allow discouragement to overtake us, to allow the difficulties, allow the lack of support or the lack of help to help us out. But the truth is, keep this in mind. You're serving the Lord, number one. You're doing this for the cause of Christ. Now, would you agree with me this evening that someone should have helped out the Apostle Paul? I would say yes. He should have had tons of help. People should have come out of the woodwork to help him. All that he had done in a lifetime of serving God, but nobody showed up except God. But can I say, God's enough? Yeah, God's enough. You see, we get upset about those that perhaps, it becomes offensive sometimes. The truth is that if we allow that, it can do damage to us, or harm is what I'm trying to say. Do damage or harm to us if we get offended because someone else doesn't do their part, or someone else doesn't offer to help, or someone else doesn't walk the line the way we think they should. We can be offended like that. And it happens. And some folks then, of course, become very critical of you as well and of the church and so on, all that. But the truth is, you're serving the Lord, so the best thing is to wait on the Lord because he is the one that can help. But overall, matter of fact, I want you to turn to it. I promise. Joshua. We'll close with this thought. Ephesians 4:32. I mentioned it a while ago. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. Because in the business of serving the Lord, you're going to find that there's going to be times when you're on your own, but you're not on your own. Amen? Verse number 32, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted. And look what it says here. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. See, you can say, well, you're a visitor here at this church, and you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how unkind they were to me. You don't know how they offended me. And I guess, you know, the truth is, I don't. But what I do know is this. How about what I did to him who hung on the cross? Those nails were put in the hands and the feet because of me. The crown of thorns because of me. The death and the burial because of me. See what I'm saying? So there's a big price paid for forgiveness. He says, because you have been forgiven, you forgive others. I close with this statement. Forgiveness is given to you, as the verse says, forgiveness is given to you to pass on to others. It's not something you hold on to and say, oh, I got forgiveness, I'm going to hide it. No, the Bible says, and we read it a while ago here, forgiveness is given to you, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. And so, as we serve the Lord, we need to serve the Lord with joy. We need to serve the Lord with anticipation, serve the Lord with excitement. But the truth is, every once in a while, someone will stick a pin in your balloon. It'll happen. Someone will be critical. Someone will walk off. Someone will say unkind things about you. There's people that are critical. They're sort of like, you love them, but they're critical. They're like a porcupine. They got some good points, but you can't get too close to them. Just saying. So I serve the Lord with gladness and forgiveness in my heart. Because I said a while ago, when you pick a fight, pick a good fight. Fight the devil. Fight Satan. And I have to fight the flesh. Amen? The Bible tells us what we have to fight, and it's not each other. I have to fight the world and the flesh and the devil. Those are the ones that defeat us. We ought not to let others defeat us. We understand that we're all sinners saved by grace. We do fail. We do falter. We do come short. Matter of fact, that's what sin means. It means missing the mark. A picture in my mind's eye, a dartboard. And there's a center, the bullseye, they call it. So if I play, some of you maybe play darts. If I throw a dart, if I miss the bullseye by a hair's breadth, I've missed it. If I missed a dartboard and hit the wall, I've missed it. So it doesn't matter by how much you missed it, you missed it. So we missed the mark. But the best thing in the world is for us to rejoice in the fact that God has given us opportunity to serve him and be forgiving of others. That's the joy and the blessing of serving the Lord. Great lesson by the Apostle Paul. Said, Lord, don't charge that to their account. Remember that next time someone offends you, someone hurts you, Lord, don't charge that to their account. Let's bow in a word of prayer.